All right, welcome back to Three Man Weave. We are here. My name is Brendan McDermott. I'm here with the returning Alex Reagan, PFF Zone, and the newly elected president of the Sports Analytics Club for next year, Andrew Root. Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. My second appearance now.
So. Of course.
Also my second appearance.
Amazing. The sophomore appearance for both these two. And I mean, we have to start this because, I mean, this happened literally this morning. Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans. Stephon, a sixth and a seventh, go to Houston, and Buffalo gets a second round pick. Gentlemen, what are our thoughts here?
I'll go first. I'll keep it like simple. I can't really see what the Bills were looking at, but I think they have a plan around this. I don't think they would give Diggs up for nothing if they didn't have a plan. He thinks they're done, but
they're cooked.
I think they'll be able to find a way to move that ball regardless.
That's fair.
It'll be like last year when the Chiefs trade Tyreek Hill. There's a lot of questions. They go out and draft Rashee Rice, ends up performing well. So we'll just see. I mean, only time will tell. It's still very early, so.
Yeah, I think they'll still be able to move the ball. It's just in a very different – they're not going to be as productive methodically because Stephon Diggs is a very consistent guy. He was always moving the chains. But there was a lot of internal conflict within the last season and the offseason. Stephon Diggs also had a bad second half. Khalil Shakir was a huge breakout candidate within the second half. I'm excited to see what he does next season. But this pretty much puts the Bills in the mark for – wide receiver during the draft. But the Bills' defense has been regressing the last couple of years. Sean McDermott is really getting figured out at head coach. I'm a bit worried about the Bills, especially how the Jets have reloaded this offseason. The Miami Dolphins are still the same. It's going to be a bit tougher for the Bills.
No scary New England Patriots. You never know.
No, I mean, if whatever quarterback they draft breaks out, that would be awesome. But this pretty much just puts them wide receiver guaranteed within the draft. We're probably looking the first or early second round. And then 2025, I think they got a good deal for Diggs, especially for more or less an aging, I think he's 29, receiver.
Yeah.
Getting a second round pick is good to value, even if it is 2025.
Yeah, I agree. I think getting a second was pretty huge for them. I think for an aging, expensive receiver, getting rid of him and getting a second is pretty huge. Like right now, their top three receivers are Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and Matt Collins, which isn't great, but I think they're guaranteed. Take a receiver, take like a Brian Thomas, take one of those top receivers at the end of the first round. I think they're right back to like a better spot. I mean, obviously, they're not going to be as good as Diggs, but I think getting a second rounder and a player that's like 70% of Diggs is pretty damn good and saving all that money. So I think overall, like the value wise, I think Buffalo won, but I mean, it really depends on the replacement is because he could be really good or he could be really bad, and the offense could really struggle. You get a big interception season out of Josh Allen with a rough
wide receiver. Hopefully, man. Hopefully, Sauce Gardner gets a few of those.
Yeah. So, that was this morning's news, huge trade. But what we were originally going to talk about was the new rule changes coming to the NFL. Huge news coming out about last week. It started off with the most controversial rule change, the hip drop tackle rule. I think it is just kind of ridiculous. I don't know. This has been like a big injury causer, but I really, really don't love the change. I mean, what are we thinking here on the hip drop tackle?
It seems like the NFL is really dead set on making offense as easy as possible. We've seen this within the last 10 years, all their humongous rule changes. But the hip drop has been almost the most egregious one so far. Mm. Hip drop is taught within tackle technique. You're taking tackling. Imagine a third and one late in the game, and you have to make a crucial tackle. You got to put your body weight through a defender and get him down somehow. You can't just jump on a player's back, especially how people are getting faster, more athletic, bigger, and stronger. Tackling is getting so much more difficult. And now with his hip drop, I can guarantee next season a game is going to be decided on a borderline hip drop, whether that's decided. But, I mean, the NFL is really there were rumors in the offseason that they were a bit upset that the points per game went down. They're trying to bring that back up, especially through this decision. And, I mean, it's part of tackling technique, and you're taking tackling out of the game, and that's very tough for defenses.
I agree. I think it's egregious.
Yeah. So he kind of covered the tackling aspect and, like, the performance aspect. I kind of want to talk about the officiating aspect as for this rule change, because in a league where referees already received a lot of flack, and I'm the first one to say refereeing is a hard job.
Mm.
It's not easy what they have to do. It's all quick play, especially with these guys getting faster and faster. It just seems like putting another judgment call into the game is just going to make that a little bit harder.
Yeah.
It's just going to make it much more controversial, and it's almost an unavoidable tackle.
Like, yeah, it's taught in tackle technique,
I feel like it's going to happen. It's going to be tough to mandate and tough to see in real time. And will it be reviewable? Like, because
that's one thing that could be huge.
I understand leaning with the crown is definitely something that I think everybody could agree should be taken out of the game. But the hip drop, I think if it's just, I don't know, I just don't see how they're going to mandate it on an efficient basis. There's going to be a lot of missed calls. So
yeah, no, I agree. I think the fact that the NFL, like PA, like all the players are disagreeing with it really shows like they probably need to like revise this rule changing like process, because that's ridiculous if the players don't agree and it's the owners just doing this. And I mean, honestly, I think that it becomes a non-factor. I think that it gets called less than one time a weekend, because I think like the referee is going to know like that. Like it's like having game changing plays on a call like that is so brutal. I think realistically it only lasts, it has like the minimum amount of time. I'm not exactly sure like how long it's in place for, but if it's only for 1 year, I really think if it's making like these big plays and game-changing calls, I think it lasts 1 year maybe. Like, it's such a ridiculous rule that I think there's no way you can keep this like for the long term. I think it'd be ridiculous.
And I think that more or less there's a certain amount of injury risk you're willing to take by signing up to be a football player.
Yeah.
And the most we can do is limit head injuries, because those have long-term effects, and players will die from head injuries. But nobody's going to perish from an ankle break or an ACL tear. Those are very crucial injuries, but the more we can limit head injuries are the best. But at some point there has to be a limit to how much we are limiting defense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's pretty egregious, and I don't think it'll last long. But the other rule change that I think is a lot more positive is the kickoff rule change. It's the XFL rules now. So what happens now, you know, the kicker has to kick it within the red zone for it to like have to be an actual kick. If it goes out of the end zone, it's to the 30. If it goes before, it's the 40. I think it's a great rule. It just encourages more returns and moves the kicking team and the return team more closely. I think it makes more returns and makes it safer. I feel like that's kind of the best possible outcome out of the kickoffs. And I personally love it. I think that it's, you know, a pretty easily, you know, great change for the league. And it just makes the kickoff more exciting play now. It used to be way more boring. It used to be such a non-factor. And now kickoffs are kind of like back. They're relevant now.
Yeah. I'll just touch on this real quick. Last year there was, I think, a 21% return rate. And we didn't even we didn't see a single return in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So these kickers and special teams coordinators are instructing their players to go out and get a touchback, because it's just going to result in, like, get them onto the 25 and get your special teams off the field, no injuries. But last year we had over 2,000 non-plays, which that's a lot of action that's being taken out of the game.
Yeah.
And I think if you, like, with this new rule, we're going to see a lot more plays, a lot more action. I think it's what the NFL is going for, similar to the hip drop and all these other rules. They want offense and scoring to go up, and they want more highlights. So I think this is a good thing, and I think it's also good for special teams players to go out and have more to show and more to prove.
Mm.
And it kind of brings special teams back to what it used to be. You look at earlier today I watched the Devin Hester opening Super Bowl play. That ball landed at like the 10-15.
Yep.
I don't know, we haven't seen that in years. Everything is in the end zone nowadays. So
I think that the big reason why there was a lot of backlash to this rule was because fundamentally how football is looking is changing. That is, whether the kickoff, that is a lot of the penalties, a lot of the physical nature of the game, a lot of it is changing. And I think a lot of people have the conservative nature of not wanting it to change. But I think that some ways to spice it up are good ways to advance the game. And I think when I was reading the rule change, I was a bit confused. Some of the rules where if it rolls into the end zone, it's at the 35, but if it's a touchback, it's hard to understand. And I think that we'll see some mistakes like week one, week two, the players misunderstanding some aspects. But I think that it increases a lot of things, which is kick return, not only the kick return volume, but also the importance of kick returning. And also I think that being a special teams player is a huge thing for the bottom of the roster guys. That's really how you can make the roster within the preseason, and especially if you're an undrafted rookie. And I think that the increased value and being better as a gunner or a player on the special teams unit, I think that they can increase players' role, and they'll be able to get more out of just kicking it out of the end zone.
Yeah, and It's also going to bring special teams coordinators to get a little bit more creative. I think we've seen like a complete stalemate at the kickoff and punts and all, or not punts, but kickoff and fair catches.
Yeah.
I think it's going to allow for more creative plays on special teams, which is just more fun. And like, let's be real, there's nothing better than seeing a return.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's like, what, that can change the momentum of the game, even if it's not a touchdown. Like, I don't know. I think those plays are what makes the game entertaining and what earns some guys some spots on rosters. I mean, we see more special teams plays in the preseason than we do in the regular
season.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think if we can even get a half of the non-plays that we had last year back, I think we'll see a lot more action, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, going towards this week, the NFL win totals just dropped, and when there's NFL gambling available, you know, this show will jump on it. You know, this week we've got favorite overs and favorite unders of the year. Alex, let's hear it. What is your favorite over for the 2024 NFL season win total?
So I'm going to be dumb and biased. I'm going to pick the Jets 9.5 just because I think it's 10. I think it is 10-7.
That's fair.
So, I mean, that one over is, it's also -105 odds right now. And I think that the Jets are in a slightly easier division. I think that the Jets now pair a 2-win with the Patriots. I think we can sneak one from the Bills. We have the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think we can sneak one from the Dolphins, especially if we have an actual quarterback the last two times. Last year, we didn't have one really. And I think that the schedule is a bit easier than it was last year. Last year was a lot tougher. Mm. And I think that it is 9.5 odds right now. I think it is 10. I think it's 10 win total.
That's fair. That's fair.
So my favorite over, I just want to do an honorable mention to the New England Patriots. I think 5.5. I think 5.5 is pretty low for a new head coach. And they're going to have a rookie quarterback. Probably going to steal Drake May at 3.
Would love that.
And we could kind of see a similar situation to the Houston Texans last year when they went in at a 6.5 projected wins total. And I'm looking at it more so, I'm not looking at the odds, I'm just looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
And I think that, I'll stick with the honorable mention for now, I'll stick with that New England can get over 5.5 wins. And my main pick is the Arizona Cardinals at over 6.5.
I like that.
It's going to be, I think, post-draft this will go up after they add Marvin Harrison Jr. and potentially more in the offseason.
Yeah.
And you're getting a healthy Kyler Murray, a full season, who was an MVP candidate like within the first half of his –
2 years ago.
Two, three years ago. Injury. And I think even if they trade out of that number four spot, if they don't want to get Marvin Harrison, I think they get a big return to prepare. Either way, I think the Cardinals are going to try to be competitive this year. I think this year being a little punt season with Josh Dobbs and just rotating in and out of different players and different quarterbacks, I think this year it's going to be different. And that's all.
I like that. I think the Cardinals are a team that they're always slept on. I think like when Kyler has these like really good receivers, he plays well. Like the D-Hop season was when he was an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
That was when he was playing his best.
Yeah,
they were good offense last year too.
Yeah.
I'm way higher on Kyler than I think a lot of people are, and it's just because I think he gets lost in the mix just because of his height.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he gets a lot of anyone thinks he's bad. I think he's just a little bit overlooked within the positions. I think he gets ranked around 14 to 16 usually.
Yeah, that like 15, 16.
Yeah,
range.
But I realistically think it's more like 11 or 12 of right now. But I think he has the upside to go into like the top 7, top 8 players. Mm. And if he stays healthy, I think 6.5 wins. I think the Cardinals could win like 8 or 9 games this year.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I see that division kind of taking a step back, too. Like, I don't know if the Niners be that much dominant.
I don't think the Rams
Seahawks
are going to be.
Gino,
Seahawks,
are they going to be that good?
Have regression.
Like, definitely Rams have older quarterback. I can definitely see Cardinals getting over 6.5. For my over, I've got, you know, more of an unpopular pick. People are hating on the Dallas Cowboys offseason. I personally, I see 10.5 wins. I just think the number's too low. I think the Cowboys, 12 wins a season, I think they keep it going. They've been complaining about this offseason, but like realistically, what could they have done to improve their roster, in my opinion?
I'll tell you.
With really okay,
Stephon,
let's hear it.
Stephon Diggs, if they were really all in, they would have went out and gotten Diggs.
I mean, I feel like the receiving core was that their weakness this year?
No,
with CeeDee and Brandon Cooks.
When Jerry Jones says that he's going to go all in and there's going to be a change, and we haven't seen anything, I don't even think they're going to stick with Dak Prescott in the future.
That's fair.
He's
I mean, I personally, I don't know. I take what Jerry says with a very large grain of salt.
But keep going.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But so my love of the Cowboys, I personally think, I mean, earlier this year I had Dak as my MVP. That did not age very well. But for me, I think, you know, losing Tony Pollard is such a non-factor in my opinion. He was not that good. Like, I know in fantasy, I was somebody who loved Tony Pollard in fantasy. I wasn't able to draft him. Thank God he was kind of mid after the first couple weeks. And I think they still have their core players. They still have Dak. They still have Micah. They still have CeeDee. And, I mean, even if Dak is not going to get re-signed, he's guaranteed this year. And I think this year, if he can put up similar numbers to last year, you know, more of like a refresh year for the Cowboys, just kind of what they were doing last year, I think they can easily get 12 wins. I don't think this division is going to be very good. Like the Giants are the Giants. The Commanders, if they whiff on their QB, they're going to be an absolute garbage team too. I mean, the Eagles are such a, like a downturn last year too. Yep. I think the Cowboys, they can get like at least 5 or 4 division wins kind of guaranteed, and yep. I don't think their schedule is going to be that bad. I think the Cowboys easily get 12 wins around like a 2 or 3 seed. I think 10.5, it's just too low of a number. It's just too low of a number in my opinion.
Is that including, do you think that you're saying that you think 12 wins is realistic?
I think, yeah, that should be that. I think their number should be 11 okay. and a half.
So
that,
do you think that they're going to succeed in the playoffs, or do you think they
fall? Oh, absolutely not. No, I think they're the usual Cowboys. The usual BS Cowboys. Oh,
just
yeah,
making
yeah.
sure.
No, yeah, I but think yeah. Like they could lose to literally anybody in the playoffs, like home away, it doesn't matter. The Cowboys will cowboy however much, and especially in a Dak contract year, like I can totally see they're down like 14 points in the playoffs. Yeah. Dak mails it in because he's gonna get $60 million from someone. Doesn't really care if it's Cowboys. So yeah, I think Cowboys 11 or over 10.5 wins is a pretty great bet in my opinion. So you know, we got our overs, favorite unders. Who are we thinking here? Who's gonna disappoint this season?
I have a big one that I think stood out to me immediately. I'm on a huge downturn for the Eagles.
Ooh,
I think the 10.5 win total, I would not be surprised if they have 8 wins this year. Because you saw the second half collapse.
Yeah.
They were 10-1 or 11-1 at one point.
Yeah, 11-1.
Lost a lot of games, lost to the Giants, who were terrible at the end of the season, and then got pretty much manhandled by the Buccaneers in the playoffs. And there's a lot of turmoil within the players, with AJ Brown always having some issue. Jalen Hurts is stays in his IG caption post game interviews.
Come on.
And then you got the defense, which the secondary was really disgusting to watch, honestly.
Definitely.
Their team is really on a downturn. It seems like they're not very coached. They're not coached well when they lost to Sarkisian or Shane Steichen, my fault. And they lost John Gannon. You lose your 2 coordinators in a year, and I understand that it wasn't going to be immediate improvement, but there wasn't any big coordinator move or coaching move this year other than I don't even know who the defensive coordinator is at this point. No big team move either. I don't think they're not in a great spot within the draft as well. I think that the Eagles are going to be a regressing team this
year.
I agree.
I like that you said regressing team. I don't think that they're going to be bad, though.
I think that
even if they take a step back from 11 wins, I think 9-10 wins could even be enough in that East Division to maybe even still sneak into the playoffs. And
wild card team.
Yeah. All right, so going on to my favorite under, I'll start off with another honorable mention. I want to go say that the honorable mention is Indianapolis Colts. I don't think that they're going to get 8.5. I don't think they're going to get 9 wins.
Mm. Anthony Richardson fader.
I like Anthony Richardson, but I just don't know if that offense has enough weapons around Anthony Richardson. And let's see if they could even protect him for starters. Anthony Richardson also hasn't really had a rookie year yet.
Yeah.
So 9 wins as a rookie quarterback is very tough. Seeing that from CJ Stroud, it took a lot more than just CJ Stroud, though.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the Colts get 9 wins. But my favorite under. Sorry, I went way too much on that one. Favorite under is the Atlanta Falcons, under 9.5
wins. That's amazing.
Yeah, so, that's a great pick.
I'm unsure of Kirk Cousins, but I really understand the move. I understand the overpay. You have to do it. It's
definitely
just the market. I understand all of it. I see why Atlanta went out and got him, and I'm not saying that they're not going to make the playoffs. I just don't know if they can win 10 games because I think that division is always a toss-up. I think they could even win that division at 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I looked at the Buccaneers. They're 7.5 wins.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that the Falcons, it's not even like a diss on Kirk, but 10 wins is a lot.
I mean, 10 wins, you win that bet. They're 10.5, right?
No, I'm taking the under.
No, the under.
No,
9.5.
Yeah,
they're
9.5.
Oh,
9.5.
Yeah, still 9 wins you win your bet, I think. That's reasonable.
Kirk has had better teams in Minnesota, and he's just still unproven. I know he's 35 coming off an Achilles tear, and I know everybody, he's a good guy. I love Kirk, But
great funny guy. Funny guy.
Let's be real. When it comes down to it, it's going to be tough to get 10 wins.
Mm.
And I don't know many teams in the league that can even put together 10 wins. I don't know if we have any guarantees that can put together 10 wins right now.
Houston Texans.
Basically.
No,
after today. They're so goaded. After today. But.
No, yeah. I think that Falcons like weapon core is a little overrated, too. I think they're getting... I mean, Bijan's great, and like Kyle Pitts
should
unproven. Be great. But, Drake London should be great, we'll really see.
One thing, though. Drake, they have a lot of we haven't seen much of the potential that the weapons can show. Mm. I think Bijan kind of got... saw like less of usage as the season goes
Tyler
on.
Tyler Allgeier season,
but I think that was just protection from the ownership protect Bijan. Drake London hasn't really been shown yet. Mm. I think this is going to year three for Drake London, correct?
Yeah,
Arthur Smith is also a hack. So he's also terrible at managing people because he's a son of a billionaire. He's a nepotism baby.
I think if Kirk can stand in the pocket and take some. Pass that ball, just distribute it around the field, hand it off. I think that's all he has to do. I just don't know if that's enough to get 10 wins.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, going to my under, I've got an honorable mention as well. You know, this year, my 49ers hate, you know, it really just was everlasting. It never ended. And into 2024, we just keep it going. My honorable mention is 49ers under 11.5 wins. This is really more on the speculation around their team right now. They just lost Armstead. Will Purdy stay the same? Ayuk, there's like more chatter coming out of Ayuk. I don't necessarily think he's going to leave, but he's going to demand a big contract. And I think, really, is Purdy like worth, mm-hmm. is he going to be worth this big contract that's coming up eventually?
Yeah.
And I think it's like, it's kind of a must-win year, but I don't know. Like, people, like, when I like talk about the 49ers, I feel like people assume they won like 13, 14 games. Like, they won 12 games last year, and their number's at 11.5. I really think they could, like, 11-6, and we win the bet. I really think that could, like, be the 2 seed, and we still win our bet. I think that the Niners just a little overpriced here. I really think that they can get, I think they get 11 wins and we still win. I think under 11.5 is a really good honorable mention for the 49ers, but I can't be 100% confident. A team that I am 100% confident in is the New York Giants under 6.5 wins. I'm sorry, Kevin, but your team is just not good. Like, I'm a big Daniel Jones skeptic. He's just not good without Saquon. These numbers were baffling, by the way. He averages 192 yards a game, 0.7 TDs, and 0.9 interceptions. Like, it's just, he's just not very good. I think the offense is going to be atrocious. I think Brian Daboll might get fired, but he shouldn't. Like, Brian Daboll's a good coach.
He really shouldn't.
The front office is absolutely dogging him.
100%. Oh, yeah. I think the defense will carry them. I think there could be, like, you know, those, like, Bears teams that, like, had an awful offense.
They just got rid of Wink, though.
Literally. they did get rid of Wink.
What are they going to do?
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, the Brian's Burns signing, I mean, I thought it was an overpay, but he's a really good player. Like,
you have to overpay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Burns and Thibodeau they're gonna be a good pass rusher. I think they'll have a good defense, but I think like they could be the Patriots low key losing games 6-0, losing games 10-3. I could so see that in New York, and I think that 6.5 wins, it's just too many. I think they get maybe 5. Like, I really think Jones gets benched by week 10. I think they might even draft a QB to, you know, replace him. I think, you know, I think
that'll be the worst thing they could possibly.
I think
do.
They're the first overall pick.
You think for next year?
I think the Giants are the first overall.
Don't draft a
quarterback. Or second, first or second. Their team is. From every year that I've seen, teams that do what the Giants did this offseason or what they've been doing always points to we're going quarterback next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I also agree. I think that Daniel Jones is gone. I think this team gets maybe 5 wins, most likely 3 or 4, to be honest. I really think this team is not going to be good next year. So, you know, moving more towards the draft, you know, we had a huge draft discussion last week with Alex, with Enzo, and with Paul. And this week, you know, I kind of wanted to just talk about some reaches and some fallers in this draft. We never really got to talk about it. And, I mean, Alex and Andrew, who are your biggest draft reaches for this year? Who's going to grab a player that's not worth their value?
You want to go reaches first?
Yeah, let's go reaches first. I mean, I have the biggest one, which is J.J. McCarthy.
Of course.
I finally watched J.J. McCarthy's film. I watched 5 games. I did Ohio State. Both years, I did the TCU game, I did the Alabama game, college football playoffs, and then I did the Washington game. So I did all those films, and I mean, I know he's a young quarterback. Undeniably, on film, you could see that he just turned 21 years old, but there are so many consistent mistakes that he makes that it's hard for him to break out of that habit. I've seen them from 2022 moving on to 2023. Such as throwing behind receivers, not leading receivers, being too erratic in the pocket. He also throws behind receivers a lot. They always have to track back. His accuracy can be either pinpoint or it can just flat out be completely off. He throws over receivers a ton. McCarthy is a guy that I just see. I think he should have stayed another year, but obviously Harbaugh is gone. Everybody's going to the draft, so he was going to follow suit. But even though I still think he could be a first-round player, the top of the first round is way too overpriced for already quarterbacks that are more polished, more mature. Not a maturity like McCarthy, an immature person. Yeah. It's more of a maturity in the pocket as a quarterback. Yeah. He's going to go ahead of, what, Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, or Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, there's even steam for him at number two.
It's way, way, way too high, and definitely. I think he'll be overdrafted.
The J.J. McCarthy hate never
ends on
this podcast.
Not that he will be bad or that he is going to be bad. It's just he will be taken higher than he should.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't sit up here and say that I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a bad player. I also have him as the biggest reach, which when you first said it, I was like, now I kind of feel like I should have picked somebody else.
I have another reach.
But I want to say my piece on J.J. McCarthy. I think if he stayed another year, he could have had – if you look at Drake May, Drake May was one of the best college football quarterbacks 2 years ago, stayed another year, performed not better than he did the year before. Mm-hmm. So I think even if J.J. McCarthy regressed a little bit this year, he still would have been a premier quarterback in next year's draft.
Yeah, I
understand you can't turn down the money, but I'm just a little confused as to what J.J. McCarthy's rush is. If he was that reliant on Harbaugh, I think that should be a red flag for coaches or front offices when they look to draft him, because obviously Harbaugh is going to say he's the best quarterback in the draft. That he has to. He's not going to go out and say, no, I don't think my guy is good.
Yeah.
And let's be real. He was a great player.
Yeah.
He was a great player. We're not going to sit here and talk about, like, J.J. McCarthy wasn't a stud. He was. But good. I think in this class, he gets kind of overshadowed, and I see this giant smoke screen once a year. Mm-hmm. We see it once a year with a guy.
Yeah,
and this year, it is J.J. McCarthy. We've seen it in the past with Mac Jones.
Yeah,
who else has it happened? Oh,
Zach
it's
Wilson.
Happened to Malik
the,
Willis.
The Jets Malik fan over Willis. Here knows exactly
Zach Wilson.
We see this, and even at J.J. McCarthy's peak, his peak was the national championship and the weeks following after that, when there was like, he was the man. He was still a projected second, third-round pick maybe. Even when we had the meeting just a little bit about a month ago, he was still a second-round pick, and I thought that was appropriate where he was falling, because I think he could have sat a year.
Definitely.
Learned he should not go to a team where he's going to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Harbaugh is just feeding into the McCarthy sweepstakes, and I just don't see a realistic situation where he does get taken. I think this is all just kind of like draft hoopla where
you think he doesn't go top five?
No. I think if the order stays how it is now, I don't think he's going to go to the top five.
Ooh,
but if we see a deliberate trade up, we can probably confidently say. But could you see, okay, let's just go. First three, I think we can say the big three. I think it's going to be Williams, Daniels probably at two, May at three. If four, if that remains Arizona, that's going to be Marvin Harrison
Jr. That's
going to
be Marvo.
Here's at five. I don't know if Penix, I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to beat out Penix in a race, because I don't see where he's risen to.
I mean, the teams, especially for quarterback, there's such a stigma against older guys because of the contract situation. Yeah. I mean, I think Penix played at his peak in college. Yeah. Bo Nix also played at his peak at Oregon. Mm-hmm. They're going to be 24 years old, and McCarthy's 21. He could sit for a year or two.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Penix and Bo Nix can't.
I would like J.J. McCarthy to sit. Mm. And similarly with Drake May, I don't think Drake May should be rushed in. I still think Drake May is a little bit unpolished. But I think that we have just completely overthought the quarterback prospects going into this draft, and it's just fatigue. It happens every year.
Yeah,
it's once we get too much information on guys, we start to manipulate things when they haven't even been on the field, they haven't even been playing, they haven't even really messed up in their pro days. None of these guys are going to have a bad pro day.
Mm. Yeah,
like
that's such a fact statement, bro.
And we saw the back foot throw by McCarthy at his pro day. I mean, have we seen that
looks
before,
familiar,
Alex?
Man? Oh my god, I remember watching that live. I thought he should have gone number one.
Zach Wilson, PTSD. I like J.J. McCarthy. I just think that it's just all smokescreen.
Mm.
I don't even know why he has entered this conversation, and that's not even a knock on his skills. I just think he's just so, like he said, that's a good word to describe it, immature as a player.
Yeah.
In the pocket, he's not a polished passer. He's
I like his footwork.
He's not overly athletic where he can wow you. He's not
good athleticism.
Nah,
crazy. Though.
I mean, like he's more athletic than Penix and Nix.
Is he going to be able to outrun?
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to outrun the fast defensive ends, the new defensive ends?
Maybe not, but he's like the same athleticism. My player comp is Zach Wilson. Not in terms of how they'll do it at the NFL. They are kind of a one-on-one player from how I've seen it. I've seen every single Zach Wilson snap, hours of film from him, and I see them make the same mistakes. I've seen them make the same mistakes, the exact same mistakes.
Yeah.
I see them play the exact same way. The only difference really is their footwork in the pocket. Zach Wilson had no footwork coming out of college, and that plagued him in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I liked McCarthy's footwork and his drop step. However, they are like the same player.
Yeah.
They're the same player.
I wouldn't be surprised if J.J. McCarthy goes to the Broncos. Also,
yeah.
Right, I think top five is such a reach. If it stays how it is now,
I think
it's such a reach. I think the Vikings could be similar to the Giants, where if they just stay this year with who's their projected quarterback?
They signed Darnold.
Okay. So if I was a team within the top five, like the Vikings, I would be interested in a guy like Mason Rudolph probably to just start for the year, bridge, and compete for a top pick. And maybe Mason Rudolph could win a couple games.
Is Darnold the bridge, you think?
I mean, say goodbye to Justin Jefferson.
He's presumably gone, even if they draft McCarthy.
They can't let him go.
I think the thing about Harbaugh
is
really sneaky is, so you know how like all these projected trade-ups, right? Mm-hmm. Who is the team they're trading up for? The Chargers pick. Yeah. So Harbaugh, oh my God, J.J. McCarthy, he's so good.
Like Justin Herbert totally, is going to hit this.
He just slowly increases the value of that pick because he's so good. So now instead of getting the Vikings 11 and 23, maybe he gets a second two.
Or he trades away Justin Herbert.
Exactly. I'll tell you exactly what is causing these quarterback hype-ups. It's mainly the media, but it's mainly three people. I think it's Mel Kiper Jr. putting him up to 9 on his big board, I believe.
He don't know anything. He doesn't do his own film anymore.
Mel Kiper Jr. is hyping up J.J. McCarthy. Dan Orlovsky is hyping up J.J. McCarthy, who has a big say in the draft. You may not believe it, but Dan Orlovsky is a great analyst, and he actually has a lot of power and say. And also, if you look at just all these media, it's like the Pat McAfee Show covers the draft every day. It's analysis paralysis. We're getting way too much information, much information about these guys where we're just overthinking it. You look at Drake May. Months ago, he was argued to be better than Caleb Williams. Now he's the third best. I don't know. It's been too long. I think if the draft was a couple months ago, I don't even think J.J. McCarthy sees the top 15, maybe even not even the first round.
I love all these changes when no games have been played, too. It's crazy. Yeah. It's actually crazy. So my reach was also J.J. McCarthy. It's just so obvious. I mean, I think
we're ripping
on
the guy. We really are. He's going to be a stud.
With the J.J. McCarthy hate club. I mean, I also think that Bonix going 12 was a little early, but I mean, that's just me. For some draft fallers, I think that this QB craze is kind of going to let some defensive talent slip farther than they should. I think, personally, my biggest faller is Terrion Arnold. I think that a lot of defense slips, and I think that one of the teams that should be going after him is the Broncos. I think the Broncos should totally take Terrion Arnold, but I think they're going to take a QB instead. So I think he falls to, like, Ravens, Bills, Bucks.
That'd be crazy.
I agree. I think all these QBs are going to, like, move the wide receivers
down. This happens
every year,
though.
Which moves the tackles down.
It's the quarterback show.
Which moves the pass rushers down. I think the corners,
there's
so
no
good.
Reason Marvin should go at 4.
Exactly.
There's no reason. Marvin should honestly be the number one overall pick.
100%. But I think all these crazy, all these positions, I think Terrion Arnold slips to those 20 to 25 range. I think that he's a huge slip and a great steal.
I'm so in on Terrion Arnold.
I'm also very guilty of it. I kind of over focus on the quarterbacks because, I mean, let's be real. This is like reality TV of these like quarterback smoke. Like, we love the quarterback drama. Let's be honest. We love seeing J.J. McCarthy rumored in the top 5. It's great for this podcast. And it's great for ESPN. It's great for Pat McAfee. It's great for J.J. McCarthy. He got Harbaugh blowing steam up
him. He just earned himself so much money.
I don't get it. But I think the cornerbacks are getting overshadowed, like you said. I think Terrion could land on a team that is going to be a contender as well.
Definitely.
I have a fall. I have actually two. I have the one in the obvious one, which is going to be Brock Bowers. Just because the positional value and blah, blah, blah. Brock Bowers is a top 3 player in this draft, in my opinion, based on talent. But I think a humongous faller is Jonathan Brooks. Brooks, halfback out of Texas. That ACL tear is such a determining factor in a lot of draft people's eyes coming into the draft. An ACL tear is a massive, massive deterrent for your draft stock. And I think late second round, maybe third round. And that is such late value for Jonathan Brooks, who is a phenomenal one cut back. This dude has great vision and contact balance. He could just hit a hole and then boom, he's gone. Mm. He's great speed, quick burst and acceleration, quick feet as well, good ankle flexion. Jonathan Brooks should be going within the top or middle of the second round, but he's going to fall a lot farther because of the ACL tear. But he also is still young. He just turned 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right, you guys want to get into fallers. I kind of want to say I think the biggest fall has been Drake May. Undoubtedly, I think. He's even, like you said, you want to rip on Mel Kiper Jr. a little bit more. Mel Kiper has him as his, like, I think third or fourth ranked quarterback.
I don't even pay attention to him.
Yeah, but so I mean, how can you not, though? He gets the most draft attention, and I'm kind of interested to what he says because it's always funny. Mm. But I think I just wonder what has changed when no games have been played.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He arguably 2 months ago was regarded in the similar realm as Caleb Williams, and now he's being
even higher than Caleb.
Now he's being compared to J.J. McCarthy and Daniels. So I just wonder what has changed with him. I think he has the most upside, and he's still also very young. Mm. Even 2 years ago in college football, before he was eligible for the draft.
In 2022, or you mean his freshman year, redshirt freshman?
No, when he threw 36 touchdowns.
Yeah, redshirt freshman
year. Over 4K yards.
Yeah, he had 36 and
4, I believe, or something.
7?
I don't know.
But he led college football in EPA.
Exactly. Mm. So he was regarded as, if he was draft eligible, he would have even been drafted that year.
Probably.
And so I think he's been pro ready for some time now, and I just don't understand where has the fall off stemmed from.
I think it's because a lot of people recognize, he has, similar to, I guess, J.J. McCarthy, he has a bit of footwork discrepancy. It can either be really polished or it could be kind of all over the place. He's a bit erratic, and under pressure he can just kind of chuck it up.
We've heard that before from a guy from Wyoming in 2018.
My comparison is Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Yeah. That is what I think he kind of plays as. He's extremely aggressive. He makes some kind of, you know, what are you doing type of throws.
Yeah.
But I think that the upside, I mean, this dude can. His arm talent is phenomenal,
and I'm not saying Drake May is as good as Caleb Williams. I'm just pointing out the fact that just some time ago he was regarded even higher.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I think that he should. I think if he goes to New England, that's the best possible scenario for him. I think Washington would not use him, but I think Washington could use Jaden Daniels. If that makes any sense, yeah. I think Jaden Daniels.
I think it's kind of flipped.
You think Jaden Daniels in the 30-degree weather?
I mean,
looks
I don't
a good threat?
Definitely not. But I think that the May fits much better.
Hey,
in the
it's not warm
system.
In DC. It's not warm in DC.
That's fair. Yeah,
it's not warm. Yeah, no, it's super cold.
But I think I'm not saying that he's going to light up the league right away. I don't think he's going to be the best quarterback in his rookie year. Mm. But I mean, we're just looking at a complete overthought of this situation, and it's kind of crazy. But if I'm Drake May, I would almost rather this because I think he would be better suited in New England. What do you think, Alex? Because I know you said before there should be flipped.
I think that I honestly don't know what the Patriots system is going to look like. If it's
if
it's a replica of Belichick with Gerard Mayo,
hopefully
then
not.
I don't know. There's not a lot of spice in that offense. Mm-hmm. They really lack explosive plays.
But if they could get Drake May, he's a guy that's a playmaker.
Well, both of them are really. Sure. Jaden Daniels is is arguably the greatest or second greatest playmaker I've evaluated on the ground. And then Drake May he led the FBS in big time throws this year. Mm. So you're getting two explosive guys, yet they have a specific lack. With Jaden Daniels, it's going from read 1 to 2, throwing over the middle of the field, lacking, I guess. And then with May, over aggressiveness, accuracy issues, a bit of instability in the pocket. I think that May would be a better, obviously, selection because I think he's better and I think he's more pocket ready. But I think Jaden Daniels could be a nice, especially from a wide receiver core that's not developed totally yet.
Mm.
You can have that more explosiveness on the ground.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, coming in, the meat and potatoes of three-man weave, the best bets of the week. Started off Dots Locks. You know, we've been haven't been great lately. You know, we've been mostly a .500 better, but we turn it around this week. You know, everyone's bets. Let's hear them. First off, I've got Celtics minus 11 versus OKC. No SGA. I think this line should be minus 15.5, minus 16. I think, you know, Celtics, they do their thing. They do the classic Celtics. They blow them out 25-plus. I think this is an absolute no-doubter. I think it's a big Derek White game. You know, SGA, his replacement, will not do well against Derek White, Boston's favorite baldy. And, yeah, I think this is a classic Celtics home dub. I think this game ends, you know, I think like a 105 to, you know, 90 type score. And second bet, we've got, you know, this is not the, for those, you know, the Dot's not known for his baseball. We got Rockies money line. They're not great.
Hopefully.
They are not great. You know, they're catching up plus 165, and that's pretty fucking large odds for baseball. And They got Cal Quantrill at the mound. He's a great pitcher, and the Cubs are starting a reliever that they threw last night. They're starting Luke Little, who literally threw last night. I've almost never seen this before. Starting a reliever that pitched the day before. It's total look ahead spot. They get the Dodgers tomorrow. I think the Rockies steal one. I think this is 6-5. Rockies win. They're 1-5. Let's make it 2-5 today.
Funny that you mentioned that. I am a Rockies fan.
No way. Oh,
so hopefully
brutal.
But we are so bad. Oh, yeah, it's
brutal.
Bad.
It's brutal. Yeah. Wait, we'll get the dub today. Plus 165. Take the Rockies.
Saying we.
Any more bets? Any more bets we got?
I'll say one. I'm not looking at this from a. I don't know. I didn't really prepare for betting, honestly. But I think if you look at just the MLB so far, I kind of want to stay away from NBA because it's like tough to look far in advance. Because whenever this video will be out, how long? Probably a couple of days.
Yeah.
But I think the Yankees right now, I'm obviously a biased Yankees fan, but they just look like such a different team. Mm. They look like such a different offense. I know Judge has been off to a slow start, but they're seeing more pitches than any team in the league. I think if you want to put your money in a safe space, I think it'll be taking the Yankees. They've been going down this year a lot, and I've been seeing a lot of people on Twitter have been saying that as soon as they go down, just take the odds because it's like going to be higher.
They lost 7-0 last night, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Yankees money line today.
They did, yeah.
They're
not?
Like directly
they're
even
up,
money.
They're up 2-1 right now against the Diamondbacks.
There you go.
They got a day game because it's on the West Coast. But just go if you want to win some bets. Bet on the Yankees.
Love that
favorite team. Let's go.
Yeah, I have a fun one. I have a bit of a fun one. I have two. So NC, this is March Madness.
Oh yeah,
ooh, got NC State.
No,
let's
plus,
go.
No,
let's
no,
go.
Not money line, but plus nine.
I like that.
So I don't think there. I don't. Maybe know if they'll win, but I'm taking the plus nine, buying into DJ Burns.
He's a dog.
The hottest team. team in the tournament right now.
And then UConn, but I am taking for the UConn Alabama game plus 161, huge number, plus 100 bet right now. Mm. However, UConn is a top five offense, and then Alabama is they're a fast team. Mm. They score a lot of points.
Over 161. Love that.
Yeah, over 161. Maybe like 150 if they have it. It'll be a bit worse of a line, but if you can parlay it with a plus nine for the NC State, I'm good with that.
I would love to see Purdue lose.
Oh,
I would.
Amazing.
Me too, man. That'd be so
Edie's
fun.
A fraud.
Edie just makes me mad watching him, man.
He might get drafted first round.
Did you guys catch that? Did you guys catch the LSU Iowa game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Caitlin
Clark.
She's nuts.
It's actually insane.
When in doubt, bet Iowa.
She is pulling up from further than the logo.
She's
off the dribble.
It's crazy.
It's like ridiculous. They knew what's coming and they still couldn't stop it.
Is that the juice that the WNBA needs?
Yeah.
She's literally. Like she's like a Curry archetype. She's a Curry archetype.
100%. Yeah, no, that WNBA, that's going to be insane.
Dude, I'm tuned into the next Iowa game personally.
Got it.
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
I'm tuned in.
100%. All right. Great podcast. Gentlemen, thanks for hopping on.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.